listening to an Aeon podcast.
Welcome to the 7 Steps to Freedom from Anxiety, Depression and ADHD podcast series. Throughout this series, I've been lucky enough to sit down with naturopath, speaker, author and mentor, Jodi Gozard, formerly Jodi Chapman, about finding freedom from anxiety, depression and ADHD. It's been an enlightening process. Her mind is full of invaluable information about naturopathy, toxins, genes, allergies, the gut, diet, the list goes on and on. While recording this podcast with Jodi, in pretty much every episode, I had light bulb moments where I thought, is she talking about me or my child or my husband or my dad? It's relevant. With mental health issues being so common these days, it opens up a world of questions, offers the potential for answers, and a lot of opportunity for better health and mental well-being. I hope you find Jodi's thoughts and knowledge to be as relevant and as helpful as I did, but most of all, I hope you enjoy. In this episode, episode 1, we meet Jodi, find out about why she became a naturopath and how her experiences and studies have encouraged her to become an expert in the fields of nutrition and mental distress. Now, Jodi, to start off the series, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, when your special interest in mental disorders began and how you wound up doing what you do today?
Well, as a child, I grew up with quite a few health problems that were insurmountable, I would say. So by the age of 7 was the first recorded visit to the GP with migraines, daily headaches, that were absolutely excruciating. So not something that a Panadol could impact. So I was medicated quite early. And, you know, I remember handfuls of up to 10 different medications. And I'm sure now looking back that some of those would have been antidepressants, being they used them for migraine relief. And that went on for up to 16 years every day of my life. It really wasn't paid much attention to, but I also suffered quite strongly with anxiety. But it wasn't something we talked about because, you know, back then it was more of a personality trait, you know, the shy child, the one that was more introverted. That was my nature, was to be quite quiet and reserved. But the anxiety that I now look back and realise I suffered came along with the suffering of the migraines. And not being able to understand medically what was wrong with me. I remember by the age of 15, I was being taken from specialist to specialist, and there was a migraine specialist who came over from the UK once every couple of months, and he'd been on 60 Minutes that my mother had seen, and so she put me on the list to see him. And when he finally visited Australia and I got to see him, I was diagnosed with classic cluster headaches that I would have for the rest of my life. And I walked out of that room feeling absolutely crushed, and just there was no way that that was going to happen to me, because, you know, at that time, at the age of 14, 15 and onwards, I was on 8 Mesindol a day and 8 Notos a day to stay awake to get through school, to deal with the pain on top of the cocktail of drugs that were attempting to settle down the possible cause of the problems. It didn't really have an impact. It wasn't helpful. By the time I was 20 years old, my mother passed away very suddenly. And within a few weeks of that, I developed autoimmune psoriasis and ulcerative colitis bowel disease. And now that I look back, I understand that those autoimmune conditions, yes, while I experienced a major trauma at that time, I also understand that I've learned since then that my immune system was compromised because of a huge amount of food intolerances, and those food intolerances were causing the migraines, chemical sensitivity, additive sensitivity, all of these dietary issues that were impacting my health as a child that my parents had no knowledge of. That was the 70s and the 80s, and medically there was no dietary view of these kinds of pain, inflammatory type processes, which I was experiencing every day. So as a 23-year-old, I had experience some relief through seeing an alternative practitioner of a kind, and it inspired me to immediately go to university and study naturopathy. And to be honest, you know, I learned so much about the human body and symptomatic issues and causative issues, but I still didn't have answers for me. And so I had to do a whole lot more study once I'd finished my degree as well, and go into a lot of integrative pathology and understand and learn that there were very unique things that were happening to me that I now know happened to so many people with these vague symptoms that seem to have no answer, you know, combinations of vague symptoms, you know, chronic fluid retention, chronic fatigue, chronic muscle pain, chronic migraines or depression, anxiety, they were all linked. And, you know, some people will get one set of symptoms. It might be affecting their nervous system, or it might be affecting their digestive system. It could be affecting their mood or their sleep or their liver, and it's all coming from the same problems. But there are this, you know, a broad group of people in our communities that are experiencing these same unanswerable conditions, and they're all linked. So while I suffered anxiety ongoing as a child, I didn't really suffer too much depression. If anything, it was only situational, you know, dealing with migraines all the time would sometimes get me down. But I was always a very positive and driven kind of person, and I always had a lot of goals, and, you know, I'd always be working towards my goals and what was I going to do next. And I was always a very excited person about the future. Mm. And what I learned as I first started practicing was that a lot of the experiences that I had and the journey that I went through to work out what was impacting me, and as I unraveled my own health slowly over time, I learned that the same things were impacting people that were experiencing mental health and quite serious mental health problems. And so I started to apply the same processes to these people and started to see really incredible results.
Did you find your solution before you started to help other people, or did you decide to help others and then work out which way did it work around?
Yeah, so I as an interest for myself, I discovered I was passionate about health when I was sick for so long. So I studied naturopathy partly because of my own health, but also because I am always interested in other people's health. And as I was treating other people for all other kinds of things, I found that everything that was being presented to me by a patient's case was resolvable by the things that I'd learned, and I was able to start seeing changes in them. And when I started to see so many patients with mental health changes improve and their quality of life and you know, their satisfaction when they'd come back into the clinic after, you know, one or two visits, and to see them smiling for the first time in sometimes years, and noticing huge improvements in their mental clarity, in their sleep, in their relationships with their family members, their children, their partners, recognizing that their mood being able to have an impact there changed their complete outlook on life. So it changed their behavior and it changed their success. That was so satisfying to see that. That's what then drove me down the mental health pathway, because I could see the impact I could have on the quality of life of this incredibly huge group of people, which is, you know, it's almost like an epidemic, depression and anxiety. So to see this, you know, to see simple steps being able to be applied to make changes, what I find is that the human body is absolutely genius. And, you know, you think the way a pregnancy works, every woman experiences the same biochemical changes that create these beautiful babies. If that's the case biochemically, why can't you treat the brain the same way? Okay, let's look at the simple steps that impact the depression of the brain, the literal depression of the organ of the brain, and you apply these things that remove the triggers, remove the obstacles, then support it, then nurture it, then, you know, optimize its nutrition, restore the brain neurotransmitters restore the brain wave patterns. And before you know it, you've got this optimal health in the brain, which then, you know, seems insurmountable when it's often looked at as a psychological problem and not a physiological problem. However, if you look at it from both perspectives and, you know, the psychological support that's required is there, the psychiatric support required is there, but now the biochemical support is there, then it completes the cycle of what someone needs to restore their mental health. So, you know, it's just a matter of building blocks and jigsaw puzzles and putting it all together. And if you have a missing part, you're going to have a problem. But if you have 10 missing parts, you have a sense that you can't overcome this health issue that you have. But if you have the patience to look at all of the moving parts and put them back into place, you go from 0 to 100 over a period of time. And before you know it, you're back to who you should be.
It's fascinating because it feels like, well, it is so that mental health is just constantly evolving and the treatments for it. Is it that passion for mental health that inspired you to open a clinic?
The clinic just developed. It just grew. From the moment I started practicing from home. I did my degree while I was having children. So I was taking them to uni with me. And
that wouldn't have been busy at all.
It was, you know, working around the clock, studying when I could, studying when they were sleeping. It was interesting times, but I wouldn't have done it any other way. So, you know, I started working from home initially, and within the first 6 months I became so busy. It took me 8 years to do my degree because I was having children in between and doing it part-time, and I had done massage first for the first 9 years of all of my working life for myself. I put myself through uni by doing sports deep tissue massage. And when I finally finished my degree and was able to start practicing within 6 months, I was so busy that I couldn't have people come to my home anymore. So I moved into a local gym and rented a room there. And within another 6 months was so busy that I had to add more staff, and I had a receptionist join me and a student naturopath come and join me and help me out with, you know, supporting the patients. And by 18 months, we were so busy that I had to move into a 4-bedroom house that we rented for about 9 years we were there. And 3 years before we moved from there, I purchased a building to renovate into the wellness center that we have today, because we were just too busy and we were growing out of the space. And by then we'd had a team of about 9 staff and 3 practitioners and administration team, and it became a well-oiled machine that just looked after all of these people. And, you know, the amount of people that needed help were just phenomenal. And, you know, you need to be able to be there for people. So we grew. It really wasn't something that I planned, but it just came about.
It was obviously meant to be.
Yes, and it felt like that too.
Yeah. Well, you've obviously in this time with the clinic would have seen a lot of patients of varying symptoms and things. What would you find is most common that presents itself to you within patients?
The interesting part about all of this, there's a lot of anxiety and then there's a lot of depression and there's a lot of exhaustion.
Does the depression generally follow the anxiety?
Not necessarily. Some people get both. Some people only ever get one and some people only ever get the other. And sometimes the anxiety can be first and the depression can follow because it's a form of exhaustion. Anxiety is that state where you're still in the fight and flight, you're trying to fix things, you're trying to correct what's going on around you. It's panic driven. It creates a high cortisol state. So you're in that fight and flight response and you're producing a lot of stress hormone. If that goes on too long, that cortisol burns through a lot of your ingredients that you require to make your other hormones. And when they deplete over time, those other hormones, you've got hormones such as DHEA and reproductive hormones, testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, they seem to decrease when you've been producing too much cortisol for too long. and then you find someone's in a depressive state because of a hormonal situation. We reduce our hormones as we age. So if we speed up that reduction of hormones prior to our biological age, then we suffer quite serious symptoms of fatigue and depression, mental fatigue, etc. So that can be one cause of depression.
Well, it feels like we could talk about that for a good hour, and I'm sure we will in another episode. But for today's purposes, Jodie, what's the next step for you? The clinic's obviously so successful, and as are you, but what's next for Jodie Gozard?
Well, I would really love to share what we do in a broader way. At the moment, we do see international patients, and oftentimes I'll have conversations with these patients from the UK or from Finland or the Netherlands, Hungary, the US, and the feedback that I get is that they haven't seen it put together, and these patients have been looking for an answer for depression for 30 years and they've educated themselves, yet they haven't seen it put together in this way before. And the comment is always, why are there not more well-known information out there about this? And that's what I'd like to do, is create that. So writing a book on the processes that we go through, teaching people what to look for themselves, teaching people what they can take to their practitioners and ask for, so that people can understand it themselves and educate themselves and give themselves control, give themselves some sort of answers that they can take control of their own lives.
It's a very exciting prospect that you can help so many people.
Yes, well, I hope so. I hope we can change the world when it comes to this disease, you know. It's just too broad a problem to, when it has answers, to be unanswered.
I can't wait to hear more about it, and I'm sure everybody listening is the same. Thank you for letting us get to know you a little bit today, Jodie. In the next episode of the 7 Steps to Freedom from Anxiety, Depression and ADHD podcast series, Jodie will talk to us about allergies, removing irritants, and how all of the above can affect levels of anxiety, depression and ADHD. If you're enjoying this series, please support us by subscribing to all episodes. If while listening you've had something of a light bulb moment and have the urge to reach out to Jodie, you can contact her via her website, advancedwellness.com.au. And finally, if you're experiencing a personal crisis or are having dark thoughts, please reach out to one of the many services available, such as Lifeline. Lifeline's phone number is 131114.